What is now proved was once only imagined. William Blake.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
All right, raise your hand if you've read the book or seen the movie Eat, Pray, Love, the 2006 memoir written by Elizabeth Gilbert and then turned into a movie starring Julia Roberts. If you're unfamiliar, it's a story of the everyday modern woman who is supposed to be living her dream life. She has the husband, the house, a successful career. Yet, like so many others, she finds herself lost, confused, and searching for what she really wants in life. She steps out of her comfort zone, risks everything to change her life, and embarks on a journey around the world that becomes like a quest of self-discovery. Since its release, Eat, Pray, Love has become almost more of a verb than a reference to a movie. When someone says they're about to eat, pray, love it, that means they're about to leave something behind, risk something big, go on a journey, and find themselves. Our guest today, Megan Swan, has gone through her own self-proclaimed Eat, Pray, Love experience, where she left behind a lot of what was constituting her life. She left behind alcoholism. She left behind low self-worth and recreated her life in her own design. Now she helps other women do the same. Today on the interview, we talked to her about how essential oils have helped her on her journey, different essential oils that she recommends for yoga, meditation, and other forms of self-discovery or self-care, and a lot on how you can shift your relationship with alcohol or other crutches in a self-empowering way. Before we get to that interview, as always, though, let me share my favorite oil from the past week. Megan's interview really inspired me to shift up the energy around my own house. So my favorite oil this week is Transformation. Transformation is a blend of lemon, peppermint, Royal Hawaiian sandalwood, clary sage, sacred frankincense, Idaho blue spruce, cardamom, akatea, and Palo Santo. It has a feminine tone, yet is also down to earth and grounding at the same time. It has a great ability to shift you out of a funk. It can wake you up energetically or inspire you to take action, even if you don't even know what those actions are yet. There's so many ways you can use it. You can put it in your diffuser. You could put a drop on directly on the crown of your head. That's always really fun to do. What I was doing this week, which I highly recommend, is put it in your diffuser and then put on your favorite playlist. There's one song I'll recommend I was jamming to all week long. It's impossible not to dance when you hear this song. It's by a French singer-songwriter named Jane. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. J-A-I-N. And the song is called Makeba. M-A-K-E-B-A. If you have Spotify, it's on there. You find it on YouTube probably. Makeba by Jane. I tell you, it is impossible not to just move your hips around a little when you hear this song. It'll perk you up. So put that on, put some Transformation on, do some twirls around your house, just dance like nobody's watching. If you want to learn more about Transformation, that oil, we'll put a link below in the show notes. And now, as always, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This is the segment on our show where we read a recipe that has been submitted by you, our amazing listeners. Today's recipe comes from Susan Lydia, and it's called the Fall Biscotti Diffuser Recipe. To make the Fall Biscotti Diffuser Recipe, take 2 drops Thieves, 2 drops Stress Away, and 1 drop Orange. Add to your diffuser and enjoy a Fall Biscotti aroma. Thank you so much for your recipe, Susan. You can find Susan on Instagram at SusanLydia_EssentialHome. And if you have your own recipe you'd like to submit to the dugout, email us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order. Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
I'm here with the lovely Megan Swan. Megan is a mindset and wellness coach that designs custom, approachable wellness lifestyles for the ambitious woman. She is a certified IIN health coach, a plant-based chef, detox expert, yoga teacher with over 10 years of integrative wellness experience. We'll be speaking with Megan's business partner, Britt, next week. The two of them are hosting a retreat coming up next April in 2022 in Tulum, Mexico, which is going to be absolutely astounding. So make sure to check out that information in our show notes. Megan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm really well. I'm in love with this time of the year. So I've had a great weekend off to Monday with great energy. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, but I think part of that wellness is the fact that we're having kind of an unusually warm week after a very cold week here in the mountains. So this time of year, we're transitioning like from fall to winter. And I was talking to my friends the other day that are really struggling with this time of year, this transition into that cold stillness, less sunlight. So I'm really surprised to hear you be like, oh, this is my favorite time of the year, because I feel like that's pretty unusual for a lot of people.
Well, I've kind of learned over the years how to ebb and flow a little bit more with the seasons. And maybe it's due to the fact that I'm in Mexico, that, you know, someone who lives in Canada or the US, well, depending what part, northern part of the hemisphere, where the seasons are so much more dramatically marketed. Here, you kind of just have to really tune into the more subtle cues of the shifts in season, because here, fall, it does cool off, but, you know, cool is 20 degrees Celsius. I can't remember what that right. is in Fahrenheit. But, and so I, you know, putting on sweaters and cozy things comes at a much lower threshold than if I was in my hometown, Calgary.
Yeah. How long have you lived in Mexico? What part?
I've lived here for 12 years, so I, you know, affectionately refer to myself as a fourth Mexican, because, you know, you are what you eat. So I've been a part of this land, if you will, for a fourth of my life. And I'm in the way south in a state called Chiapas. It's not a very well-known state. It's not very touristy, although there are many beautiful things to see here, Mayan ruins and waterfalls. And it borders Oaxaca, which many more people have heard of, and I'm south of Quintana Roo, where Cancun is.
That sounds absolutely amazing, and I love what you said about you are what you eat in more of a cultural sense. I think that's a really beautiful way of looking at food. And this seems to really embody something you say a lot in your work, is that you love to help women optimize their wellness and stop, quote, playing small. And it seems like this move to this remote part of Mexico, I'm wondering, is that really embodying what you preach? The, you know, let's not play small, ladies. Let's step it up. Let's live our best lives.
It wasn't maybe the first example of my life where I did a quote unquote crazy thing, like dropping my life and selling all my things and moving to at the time I wasn't moving. I was going on my own eat, pray, love journey, if you will. I fully embodying that story, that book. And my plan was to do a year in Mexico, followed by a year in Bali, followed by a year in I didn't know where, and then, you know, loop back to Toronto and sort of start a quote unquote normal life, whatever that could be. But yeah, 12 years later, I'm still in my first stop here. So I do still plan to go to Bali. No immediate plans, but it's not off my radar.
Just, yeah, 12 or 15 years after you intended.
Yeah. So I think you can read from that I've always been a little bit of a risk taker, and really good at, maybe I wouldn't have called it intuition back then, but now I can see that I just sort of listen to this inner knowing more than, you know, a lot of my friends and family that I know well did at the time. You know, like, it really fell outside the norm to do what I did, and I'm really glad I did. And I didn't really know exactly why I was pulled to Mexico. This was this internal sense that something was calling me there, and mm-hmm. and, you know, now I can see the rest of the story.
Yeah. Well, and you needed a change, and you made it happen. And I think that's something that a lot of people really struggle with. So I want to dive, you know, more into that and more into the work that you do. But first, tell me more about your relationship with essential oils. How did they come into your life, and how have they played a role in your journey for the past few years or since you've known them?
Sure. Well, I'd say even like 20 years ago, certainly 15 years ago, tea tree oil was like an essential thing in my bathroom. I suffered, or I had on and off again, acne as a younger woman. And that was, you know, one of my go-to tools. And then as my relationship with wellness, or my exposure to different things in the wellness community, I became much more in the know and, you know, started adopting different brands and getting more into using it not only as sort of a beauty product or tool, but more as, you know, part of my medicine chest and also for the side of helping my students find next level relaxation at the end of a yoga practice. You know, like I always sort of made my own little mix spray for Shavasana, and it was always a hit.
Yeah, Shavasana is my favorite part of yoga class. That's the pose I'm the best at. For those unfamiliar, that's the dead corpse pose where you literally are laying there doing nothing. And it's the best. It's the best pose in my opinion. So I also really relish when I have a yoga teacher that introduces an essential oil for that portion of the class, really any portion of class, but there is something really just so peaceful about laying and inhaling like a beautiful scent. I love to use frankincense for those scenarios. Is there a go-to scent that you like to use for yoga classes?
I always did like a combination of, frankincense is sometimes in the mix, but more earthy. Like I'm from the mountains in Canada, so I love any sort of pine for relaxation, often combined with, you know, undercurrents of lavender, peppermint, and bergamot is another one of my favorites. So to really, you know, feel like you're settling in.
Yeah, absolutely. So Megan, I know part of your journey, you're a very multifaceted person, but one thing I really wanted to ask you about was your decision to live an alcohol-free lifestyle. That's something that is really hard to do. I think a lot of people may tell themselves, oh, I really need to drink less. Or they may tell themselves, I really need to stop drinking, period. But to actually make that shift is really, really difficult. So I'd love to hear more about your decisions around that and what tools were helpful for you in making that shift.
Sure. Well, it was a part of my journey to become a health and wellness coach. And basically, I started personally working with a health coach. I had two young boys at the time. They would have been 3 and 5, I think, or maybe even 2 and 4. And I just was not getting my sleep back on track. I was, you know, getting through my days energetically. And I was kind of on this rinse and repeat of coffee, sugary afternoon snack, red wine, you know, cycle, which
a lot of acid
was not doing me any favors, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't, well, I think part of the early years of motherhood for a lot of women is a whole other topic that's, you know, not discussed enough is just coming to terms with the fact that your life is never going to be the same. Like there's lots of good ways and lots of bad ways. So I just was in this mild depression basically. And at the same time, at those first 4 years, not 4 years, well, when I was pregnant, obviously I wasn't drinking. And then I breastfed both of my boys almost like a little over a year, both of them. So that was all back to back. So in the end, it was like almost 4 years where I had like a really big break from alcohol. And part of me was always, you know, secretly or not so secretly looking forward to getting back to the place where I could enjoy having wine more frequently. But I also was extremely aware that it just didn't sit in my system like it had, you know, when I was in my 20s and early 30s. And so, and also my tolerance had been completely depleted. And so it just wasn't the same experience when I would, you know, share a bottle of red with my husband or whatever. It would hit me so much harder. And then, you know, parenting hungover was not ideal, not my favorite thing. And so I just started to slowly, you know, it was a process of over a year where I was clear that I didn't want to drink or that it wasn't serving me. But I just, like, I think many, many people, it just didn't seem like a possibility to me to completely not drink. Like, it didn't seem like that was on the menu of options. And so I, with the inspiration of just taking better care of myself on many levels through working with a health coach, it was nothing she suggested to me, but it was very much on my radar. And I decided to do a quote unquote mindful drinking year where I was going to see, like, is this something that I can, if it's much more controlled and quote unquote mindful, is that better? You know, is that going to work? And sure enough, I didn't even get through that full year. And it just, for me, there was like one last incident. I mean, there's so many topics. I don't know how far deep you want to dive into this, but so many things are going on with the shame spiral of, you know, it was now few and far between that I had these incidents where I would like have a lot to drink on a Saturday and not really remember the whole night and like feel like crap for the whole 24 hours after and all of these things, like the spiral. But, and, you know, in my 20s and 30s, that was, you know, every single weekend, sometimes multiple times a week. And so it was like quote a lot better, but I still was following in these, you know, holes, if you will. And it just got to a point as a mother, and, you know, I just didn't want to see myself modeling that behavior to my kids. I didn't want to, you know, there was several things that I was doing that I swore as a kid growing up with an alcoholic father I would never do, such as driving my kids after drinking. And I just kind of hit this wall one night. Well, I mean, it wasn't until the next morning when the shame, the waterfall of shame hits you, that I just decided. And I didn't decide at that moment that I was never going to drink again. I just decided that I was going to try not drinking. I think I said 3 months to myself at the time, and then 3 months became a year. And now it's been well over 3.5 years. And really within 6 months, I was clear that I was not anything I was ever like. I'm what they call a spontaneous sobriety story, in that I didn't go to AA. I just decided more on my mental health and well-being that it wasn't serving me. And, you know, by doing it and seeing how much better I felt, it just became a lifestyle. And from there, I found community, because there are thousands of women doing the same thing. They're not in mainstream media.
What you just said, there was this thing that wasn't serving you, so you decided to stop it. Can be applied to so many things in life that women, all people do, likely on a day-to-day basis, whether that's overeating or eating chemically laden foods or, you know, the easy processed foods, too much sugar, or watching too much TV, or staying in a relationship that's toxic. A lot of things in our life can be there to serve us or not serve us. What tips do you have for people to recognize when things aren't serving them? And then how do they make that seemingly impossible step forward to say no more?
Yeah, well, there's a few things. I mean, I think one, the stories that we tell ourselves around all of these behaviors is really important. And maybe what's most important is bringing more awareness to the fact that you control that narrative. I think sometimes we get sort of caught up in these patterns, these habits, even identities based on things we've just been doing, and we're not really that consciously doing them anymore. It's just like what everybody around us is doing, or it's just how we were raised, or, you know, as humans, it's pretty stressful to change because it enters into an unknown, and anything in the unknown is a little bit more, even though you might be sitting in a very unhappy place, you're very familiar with that unhappiness, right? So it doesn't stress you out to just not change. It's instead, it's about reframing that same reality, which is sometimes it's extrapolating out to imagine, like, what am I going to think of myself if I'm just doing this exact same thing 5 years from now or 10 years from now? Or what is the story I want to tell my grandchildren about what I did or what I didn't do or who I was? And like I said, for me, it was a big push in terms of wanting to model a different behavior than I had growing up. And, you know, walking the talk, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not always easy to do.
Yeah, but I think in terms of how I work with my clients, it's more, I mean, we definitely work on rewriting our stories into a more empowering narrative and taking that as a jump off point. But it's also, you know, educating yourself, shifting the knowledge piece. And I think that's another thing that was happening to me at that time. I was getting, I was becoming, at the same time I was working with a health coach, I quickly decided to start studying to be one myself. And so I was being inundated with all of this information about how alcohol really affects us, and the fact that alcohol is processed in the body as if it was any sugary drink, right? Like, so having a lot more awareness around the facts, if you will, because, you know, the socially acceptable narrative comes from many places, and it's not necessarily, you know, highlighting the raw data, if you will. But also, you know, looking outside of the, you know, mass media, if you will, for other people's experience. And I think, like, when you have sort of this nagging sense that you want to change, you know, it's coming from somewhere. So it's also trusting that little inner voice. Because I think another part of the problem here in terms of, you know, women's relationship with alcohol is there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for pushback, if you will, on, you know, there's a very strong narrative, which, you know, is all of the research that states that it's healthy to have XYZ amount of wine a day, a week, or whatever. Those studies were often funded by big alcohol companies. It's starting to dig a little bit deeper and, you know, read the fine print. For example, I was speaking a lot last month when we were, you know, doing we were all consciously much more aware of breast cancer as an issue. I think there's a lot missing from that conversation. I know of a lot of really cool organizations that do a lot to raise awareness, but they often do it around these flashy events that involve drinking. And I just think it's kind of ironic because it's one of the bigger pieces that is increasing our risk to all chronic diseases. But really, breast cancer is very directly related to alcohol consumption.
Yeah, you don't hear about that link very often. Megan, relate this to essential oils for me, whether that's a personal story of yours where essential oils have helped, or maybe a client that you've worked with. For those listening at home who are hearing you and they're going, yes, I need to make a change, whether that's that same change into sobriety or just a different change, rewriting their story, how can they use the tools that they're familiar with or want to get to know more, which is essential oils, to help them on that path?
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's kind of two ways I think immediately popped to mind that I incorporated essential oils in this part of the journey. One is I'm a huge fan of having a lot of fun creating mocktails. I actually have a recipe book for mocktails, and that's very kind of focused around this time of the year. There's a lot of sort of festive. And I think it's really important that part of, that everyone understand, and women, that it's, you know, living an alcohol-free life does not need to be boring, or like, doesn't mean that you're never going to socialize again or go to parties. It's just being a little bit more creative about what you're consuming. And I've yet to meet an excellent bartender that's not willing to make you an incredible mocktail. It's almost like a fun challenge for them. Yeah, one thing, I mean, I love incorporating lavender in cocktails. There's, you know, basically any of the natural herbs that you already cook with really make mocktails more exciting, like rosemary or basil. And so there's a lot of ways to just basically flavor sparkling water and juices and kind of up-level the whole experience for yourself. So that's one way. The other way is just in general, as I was saying, you know, it's really all a very fine process of becoming more aware of what is the relationship with yourself and the things that you're consuming, be it alcohol, be it food, be it Netflix, be it, you know, shopping, all of these things that we use to distract and numb ourselves. And I think essential oils really bring us back to help us create this greater awareness of how something as simple as aromatherapy or applying an essential oil before bed, like how that little shift can completely change the level of awareness we have between, you know, what we're taking in and how we feel physically and also emotionally. So I think it can be a really important part of the process for anyone to just build greater awareness for themselves about what, how they want to reconsider all sorts of everyday toxins in their life. So one of the things that I often do early on with clients is help them create a bedtime routine. And sometimes this seems maybe silly, but it can be really powerful for people to just reprioritize their sleep cycle. And this enables them to have next level energy, which allows them to have extra energy to become more aware and in tune with themselves on a daily basis. And so this bedtime routine is often, you know, I usually give them a list of even up to 100 things that they can incorporate. The idea is to really find a personalized routine that works for them. But I always recommend that they incorporate some sort of essential oil or a blend. I personally love, I mentioned that I'm huge into pine, and I think it's really beautiful to think of, you know, the parts of in nature, like where the oil is coming from physically, what part of the tree or the flower, or is it a resin? All these things that are really grounded, if you use that as a base point, and then you're applying them to the soles of your feet. So it's like literally grounding you and making you feel more at ease. And it helps my clients shift into a rest and restore mode that is next level. I personally love applying, so some sort of pine and lavender, rosemary sometimes I use. And then just rubbing gently your feet, giving a little self-massage, and then putting on some toasty socks or, you know, just cuddling yourself in and just making that little conscious, intentional shift in your energy and in your day so that you're ready for rest. Because we, you know, as mothers, we're very conscious of our kids needing like a fixed, beautiful, you know, at ease bedtime routine. And that helps them get a better night's sleep. Well, it's the same for adults, but we somehow like stop doing it for ourselves somewhere along the way. And I think essential oils are such a powerful tool to help us get that next level sleep. And in turn, that's just helping us build this awareness and ability to make more empowered decisions for ourselves at the end of the day.
I love that, cuddle yourself to sleep. It really is what we need to learn to embrace for ourselves. And as a mother, a parent, it makes me wake up to the idea of, you know, not only am I soothing my kids and nurturing them, that's my job, I'm their mother, I'm here to nurture them, but it's also my job to teach them those self-nurturing skills as well. So that's, to me, just helps me reframe, you know, what does bedtime routine look like for us? And are there little ways in there that I can empower them to soothe themselves into that routine? Because that's a skill that they can carry with them throughout their entire life. Imagine if we all taught our kids self-care instead of constantly having someone else do that care for you in a very loving way. I mean, that could be some really powerful stuff right there.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think that I am teaching my kids that too. They're also huge fans of essential oils. You know, I always ask, how are you feeling? What do you need? And, you know, based on how they're feeling, I pretty much nightly apply something. I love, you know, giving them a little back rub with a little bit of essential oil or some on the chest. And it's just this sense that it's okay to need that little extra support and love in order to downgrade basically or deregulate your nervous system and just feel at ease, you know, safe in your own bed. And and I think it's important, you know, I'm a mom of two boys, and just have that moment where you just check in and, you know, ask them like, how is your heart feeling? How are you? How's your day? And, you know, sometimes we give, you know, we just kind of get rushed into these routines. And I know as a mom, sometimes, you know, I'm really just looking forward to that hour I have to myself before I go to bed. And so I do my best. I always meditate before I put them to bed. And so that, you know, it's like a shorter 2 to 5 minute meditation, just so I can be as present with them as possible and not having, you know, bringing this sense of urgency or rush to the moment. Because, and I think it's as adults too, you know, if you have someone that you can talk to, or you can listen to an adult bedtime story or some relaxing music, it really just, you know, makes you feel more at ease, and you get a whole next level quality of sleep out of it.
That's all such great advice, Meg. I want to end with one last question before we move into our closing questions. And that's just bringing it back to essential oils for those that are just getting started, or they have a whole collection of oils on their shelf and they get a little overwhelmed with which ones to, you know, try or how to use them. Which essential oils are your personal favorites, or which ones do you find yourself recommending most to people?
Definitely. Well, I think I'll spin it back to how I usually teach my clients to eat as well, which is intuitive eating. And I think whether you're just starting out or you've been doing this for many years, it's so important that we go back and we renew this connection to self and this inner trust that at the end of the day, we are animals, and animals know what they like to smell and what they don't, you know? So it's embracing this inner knowing that, you know, you can just smell a few and decide like what is the blend that you are attracted to today, what that you can trust that your system knows what it needs on many levels. And so I tend to use, you know, the same 10 oils over and over again, just because that's what I'm attracted to. I do have many, many more, you know, I have a whole medicine chest full of them, but I always go back to clary sage, bergamot for me, frankincense, lavender, peppermint, and lemon. I feel like you can get a lot of things done with those. And usually, I mean, on the day to day, I'm looking just to either feel revived energetically, or to feel, you know, like a goddess pampering moment, or just to feel like more at ease and calm. And I think all of those can beautifully do that job. I also use lavender pretty much, you know, I live in the tropics, so mosquito bites are a pretty daily, almost a daily occurrence. And I use lavender for any sort of skin thing that is bothering me. It's kind of this, you know, it's on my bedside table. I don't know what else I wanted to mention there, but I feel like we can just trust a little bit more that whatever smells amazing to you is going to help you feel better.
I'm an intuitive oil user myself, so I love that advice. Well, Britt, this has been amazing. And before you go, I'd love to ask you a few last closing questions. The first is, what's one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay well?
Sure. Well, one is definitely meditation. That is my non-negotiable. When I'm When I have a little extra time, I do a whole ritual and I include essential oil before, and then I meditate, and then often I spritz myself with a blend afterwards, just so I feel, you know, like that I'm stepping into my day with pure intentions and just at ease. I, you know, eat well. It's like a whole other conversation, but I think it goes back to eating intuitively and taking the layer of self-judgment off of whatever it is you're desiring. And I really take time every day, to, even if it's just a few minutes, to really tune in with each of my children and my loved ones. And, you know, I think like having an eye contact conversation, you know, holding their hands, just spending an extra moment cuddling them, that human contact is so key.
And what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Well, I know it's hard, but I think we would all be in a much better place physically and emotionally, spiritually, if we lean away from processed foods. So just try and incorporate more things that are available on the outskirts of the supermarket, if you will, or even go to a local organic market as much as you can. And try and avoid relying so much on things that have a list of ingredients or a barcode.
I love it. Well, Meg, we are talking soon with your business partner, Britt. I mean, you two are offering a just wonderful, nourishing-looking retreat in Tulum, Mexico, coming up in April. Tell us more about that, what people can expect from it, and the best way to learn about that or just be more a part of your world.
Definitely. Well, this is a retreat for women who want their vacation to be an entire mind, body, soul experience. They're looking for an energetic shift. They're looking to amplify their lives in really unique and spiritual ways. So it's going to be, there's so much going on. We're doing all sorts of mindset work, but also Britt is a Reiki master. And so there's going to be group Reiki sessions. There's going to be energy healing, sound baths, spa treatments, obviously, a lot of movement practice, embodiment. We're tuning into our feminine energies. We're looking to help you shift your awareness, amplify your energy, your frequency, and ultimately your power. And so if you're interested in the retreat, you can reach out directly to me on Instagram at Megan Swan Wellness, or you can find out all the information through the website meganswanwellness.com. Just go to retreat.
Great. We'll put a link below in the show notes, of course, to make it really easy for people to find you. This has been fabulous, Megan. Thank you so much. You are a woman that offers so much wisdom through your personal experience, through the coaching that you do. You have just a very rooted soul that I think we can all learn a lot from. So thank you so much for taking the time to come share your wisdom with us here today on the Essential Oil Revolution. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you so much to those who have taken the time to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Here's one from Kelly-Belly33. She says, absolutely amazing. Samantha, you do an outstanding job. I've learned so much from you. I listen every morning on my way to work and love it. Thank you for all the hard work of researching all the awesome info you bring to us. I love your passion. Best oily podcast. Oh, thank you so much, Kelly. That means so much to me. And thank you again for all of you who have taken the time to leave a review for our show. It really does help other people find us and spread the oily love. Thanks so much again. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.